Welcome to This Week in Debian, the podcast that brings you the latest news and interviews inside the Debian community. Brought to you by FrostbiteSystems.com, providing desktops and notebooks pre-installed with Debian. Every purchase from Frostbite Systems, a portion of the proceeds will be donated back to Debian and help support this great project. So stop on by FrostbiteSystems.com and get your Frostbox today. Hello, welcome to This Week in Debian. Thank you for joining us this week. Today we're speaking with Axel Beckard, who works on the KFreeBSD project. Axel, thank you for joining us today.
Hi.
So Axel, the first thing I'd like to ask all the people that we interview is, how did you first get involved into Linux?
Oh, that's quite a long time ago. It was basically during my studies. I studied computer science. And at university, there was a computer pool, and they were running Xanos, so the predecessor of Solaris. And some student had this Linux IDE that was like that Unix just for home. And yeah, liked it. Much better command line than MS-DOS at that time. And it was a SUSE at that time. And all the students' representatives, they used Debian. And I noticed quite quickly that I liked that one more. But the SUSE box still stayed until the end of my studies because it was the only box where my diploma thesis worked on. Yeah, basically that's the first part of that history.
So is that how you found Debian then? Was the other students were using it?
Yeah, but mostly most of the students around me which were active at the university, so not only studying but active in university politics or helping other students, they use Debian, and that's how I came in contact with it.
So you've been a Debian user ever since then?
Yeah, basically since 1995, 1996.
Wow, that must have been around when it first
Debian
came out.
2.0.
So we mentioned in the beginning of the interview that you work on the KFreeBSD project. Can you tell our listeners what that is?
Basically, it's Debian as you know it, just with the FreeBSD kernel instead of the Linux kernel. And with regards to Debian, it's its own architecture. So you have Linux on PCs on the Intel architecture. You have Linux on ARM, on Spark, on MIPS, and Debian UK FreeBSD is more or less on the same level. So you have the port KFreeBSD-i386, which is the 32-bit version, and you have KFreeBSD-AMD64, which is the 64-bit version. Both for PCs.
Okay, so can you tell us like what the advantages are if there are any with using the BSD kernel in Debian instead of the Linux kernel?
Well, the biggest advantages are probably that you have some features you don't have with Linux. So most popular or well known is the ZFS file system.
Yep.
From OpenSolaris, which has been ported to FreeBSD, but is not available on Linux, I think mostly due to license issues. There is a Fuse implementation for Linux, but that one isn't as performant as a implementation directly in the kernel. So you do have a ZFS support in Debian UK FreeBSD, while you don't have ZFS support in the Linux kernel on Debian Linux.
Yeah.
And other advantages are, for example, the PF firewall, you know, from the BSD systems.
Yep.
Which are some people like more than IP tables. They say it's easier, better to understand. And there are also some smaller things like you have Open Sound System, which some people prefer over ALSA. You do have D-Trace, which is a performance measuring interface. It's probably similar to the, I think, SysTrace interface in Linux. You do have Jails, which is a better change root. That's also something where Linux caught up recently with the Linux containers. And more small stuff. Also, some people say the devices interfaces are cleaner, or the kernel interfaces, or most of the kernel interfaces are cleaner. Some also say the less bazaar-like development model of the BSDs is an advantage. Others say the huge amount of Linux developers are the advantage. So that's mostly a thing where your mileage may vary.
So some people might think it's the best of both worlds to get the BSD kernel, but all the Linux like user land stuff.
That's also, well, I compared now mostly with the Debian GNU KFreeBSD with Debian GNU Linux. There are also advantages from, depending on the point of view, compared to FreeBSD. So that's one of the points which is, well, important for me. FreeBSD does have for their ports, so most of the packages, with those which are not part of the core, they have more or less rolling releases. And for servers, I strongly dislike rolling releases, because every time you have to update Samba or CUPS due to some security issues, you get some new features, the configuration slightly has to change, and something doesn't work anymore after that. So with Debian GNU KFreeBSD, you have the usual Debian release cycle of 2 to 3 years, and the stable releases don't change with regards to features, they just get security bugs fixed. And so you have the guarantee that the feature set and the software doesn't change in that time, so you don't have to do security upgrades which break something. Basically, they may break something if the developer who did the security update made something wrong, but that happens very seldom.
So is this geared more towards servers or desktops?
Well, from the stability and quality of the current state, it's more towards servers, because on the desktop we have still much more problems than just daemons or other stuff. So X is sometimes a little bit annoying at the moment. But that's still on a plan to get that working too.
Yeah, can you talk about maybe some of the problems? Because I'd imagine it's going to be difficult to, like I said, tie in the user land stuff, Linux stuff, into the BSD kernel. So it's, you know, different call functions and stuff. You know, BSD is looking for one thing, Linux is looking for another. It must be hard to like tie those two together.
Yeah, basically the most of the glue is in the libc. So there's a BSD libc project, BSD glibc project, which basically writes proper wrappers or interfaces, so that the glibc or the GNU or GNU libc works together with the BSD kernel. And so most of the programs don't need to be changed, so they just work with the same libc interface they used from GNU Linux. But with regards to packaging or building the software, many software ships outdated config.gas or config.zap files, so they don't recognize that they are on the K3BSD architecture.
Oh, okay.
So they had to be updated. It was one of the most common reasons why some software didn't build correctly or didn't work correctly. Other things are well related, basically that software didn't make a difference between Linux and glibc and FreeBSD and BSDlibc. So all those bugs being fixed also helped the Debian GNU Herd project. So that's the, as far as I know, the only distribution for GNU Herd. And because they just have had similar problems, so someone detected, oh, it's glibc, it must be Linux. No, it mustn't. It doesn't need to. And so many of those bugs were easy to fix and got fixed over the time. So the it's already a few years since the K3BSD project started. And yeah, other problems we do have is that some software depends on Linux only features.
Like what pieces of software?
Oh, mostly software which has to do with audio or Bluetooth, because they depend on the Linux-only lib IW or on ALSA, the Advanced Linux Sound Architecture.
Yeah.
There is some limited compatibility layer called SALSA, so simulation of Advanced Linux Audio System, but it's by far doesn't have all the features ALSA has. And yeah, another thing which is not the big problem is the proc file system, because FreeBSD does have a Linux emulation or compatibility layer which includes the proc file system, at least the most important parts of it. So many software which accesses the proc file system to get some information about the running machine, they do work. And we do have one more thing. That's, for example, utilities which are very close to the kernel or to the hardware drivers. They got wrappers to have a Linux-like syntax. For example, ifconfig, as ifconfig, or the root utility to adjust roots. They have on K3BSD, they have wrappers which more or less have the Linux-like command line syntax and just rewrite it and then call the original FreeBSD tools.
Okay, so does BSD also use Bash for the shell?
I'm not sure about the original BSDs. I think some of them still use TC shell.
Okay.
As login shell. But the shell which is used for scripting is always born compatible, as far as I know, with anyone. And in Debian GNU K3BSD, the default shell for login is Bash, as with Debian GNU Linux. And the default shell for scripting, so the bin sh, the born shell, that's the dash in Debian, that's the Debian Almquist shell. It's a, I think, fork or rewrite of the ash, the Almquist shell, which is a very low resource and fast implementation of a born shell, compatible shell.
How is the driver support with the BSD kernel?
Basically, you have, I think, nearly all or all drivers available on FreeBSD 2.
Okay.
They, of course, have the same names as in BSD. So your hard disk is not DevSDA, DevHDA, it's DevAD, depending on the controller, or so most have dev ADs and then the number of the partition, and you also have the BSD labels. And so that's something where it looks way more BSD like than Linux like.
Okay, so you also mentioned like being able to do the jails with the BSD kernel. So with this K3BSD, you could actually set up jails in this version of Debian?
As far as I know, yes. I haven't tried it myself, so I can't tell you any of my own experience there, but it's also possible to run a complete BSD user land, as far as I know, in a jail or change root.
Mm.
But you have to use the you can use FreeBSD tools, but you have to do it in a jail or change root because it needs the libc from FreeBSD then.
Okay.
As far as I know. Sorry, I can't tell you that much about that because I just haven't tried that one.
Oh, that's fine. I don't know too much about the jail system anyways. I just know a little bit about it, so
yeah. on the other hand, you can also run Linux software on Debian GNU K FreeBSD in a change root. If it works together with a FreeBSD Linux compatibility layer. So it doesn't rely too much on Linux-specific stuff. And so basically it's the same way you run Linux software on FreeBSD. Did this for some proprietary backup software back then on FreeBSD and just worked the same on KFreeBSD.
You mentioned like one of the advantages to the BSD kernel has like the ZFS file system, and the,
yes.
the Linux kernel can't implement that due to licensing. Is there any other sort of like licensing issues with putting Linux stuff on top of the BSD kernel, or is there not an issue because they're kind of two separate things?
As far as I know, there are nearly no licensing issues. The only one I know, is the CDDL versus GPL incompatibility.
Mm.
But as I heard just 2 days ago, their recent, I think the Freedom Law Center of the FSF has done some checking, and the possible outcome is that it's not as problematic as currently expected, but it's just I have that second hand, so just heard it from some other guy recently, and so that's something I want to have an eye on in the future to see if anything changes there. So not sure about the current state. But there may be something changing in the future with that issue. So that may also cause to get the possibility of some Debian GNU K Open Solaris back, which at the current state is said will never happen due to licensing issues.
Okay.
But we will see.
And the KFreeBSD was frozen in this current freeze. And its first official release will be in Debian Squeeze, correct?
That's the current plan, to have Debian GNU K FreeBSD released as a stable release, Debian 6.0, called codename Squeeze. The freeze has happened, I think, and somewhere in August. And so bugs which are release critical and only happen on Debian GNU K FreeBSD are considered as release critical for the whole release, so they have to be fixed. The current plan is to release Debian GNU K FreeBSD together with all the other Linux-based architectures with Squeeze. But it will still be labeled as some kind of technology preview, because we expect that we can't fix all KFreeBSD specific issues as we are used to do on Debian GNU Linux. But nevertheless, it will be a quite stable operating system at that point already. So yeah, it will be part of the release, but it will have this extra label, technology preview.
So if there's critical bugs still in the KFreeBSD version of Debian, the other versions can't get released until these critical bugs are fixed?
That's the current state. So if some maintainer has a bug in his package, which only happens on K3BSD, that package doesn't move from Debian Unstable to Debian Testing at the moment, and if it's in testing, it's considered as release critical bug affecting the release.
That's interesting. So do bugs go across all architectures too? So say if K3BSD is working fine, but like either the ARM or the MIPS has some bugs, that'll potentially stop it from being released too?
Yep, that counts for every architecture.
Wow.
That's one of the typical things for Debian, which that it works on many architectures, and the release quality should be nearly the same on all architectures. And there's also some kind of reviewing for each architecture just before the freeze. It's called release architecture qualification. So for every architecture, it's checked if the architecture itself is capable of fitting all the standards, the quality standards Debian has. So if there are enough and fast enough build daemons to build the packages for these architectures, if there are enough people working on that architecture, let's say porters, which help to fix architecture specific bugs, which care about the Linux kernels on these architectures, then there must be porter boxes, so machines which are accessible for every Debian developer on that architecture. So Debian has running at least one machine on each architecture, which is accessible for every Debian developer. So if I find a bug or get a bug report that one of my packages does have a bug on Spark only, I can log into a Debian machine which is running on that architecture and try to reproduce and fix the bug there.
Wow, that's and pretty cool.
The same counts for Debian GNU KFreeBSD. Those two porter boxes are currently hosted at ETH Zurich, which is my employee, and there's in one of our server rooms.
Well, do you think more embedded projects would look at the K3BSD version of Debian?
I haven't heard of any people doing embedded stuff with K3BSD. But I wouldn't wonder, because the on the one hand, Debian is used as a base for quite some embedded projects. So sometimes they just take packaging and the packaging manager. Sometimes they take a little bit more. For example, the Nokia N900 is the Maemo. Operating system is using dpkg and apt and stuff, and BSD is quite popular in the embedded area. I can imagine that some embedded projects will be based on Debian GNU KFreeBSD. But on the other hand, there's just a PC version for the Intel x86 architecture. There's not yet a version for ARM, which is, I think, one of the most popular embedded architectures. Neither is there for MIPS, also quite popular. But I can imagine that if there's high enough demand and interest, that those platforms will emerge too. But that's just future talk. They don't exist yet, but they may exist in the future.
You said K3BSD is already built for like ARM and Spark and MIPS and all that already, right?
No. FreeBSD does support Spark and MIPS and ARM, but with Debian GNU KFreeBSD, it's just available for the Intel architecture x86.
Oh, okay.
32-bit and 64-bit, but I can imagine that in the future, especially due to the popularity of BSD on embedded systems, those architectures may emerge. So they may exist in the future, but they don't do at the moment.
But okay.
They don't care for BSD.
What made you want to get involved in this project?
How I got involved? I think that was in 2007 or 2006. Because I started working at ETH in 2006, and one of my new coworkers at that time ran those KFUBSD porter boxes, and I was just curious about that thing, and I do like such bastards. I do like to combine one open source project or software with another one, which are not thought to work together, but make them work together. That's something I like very much with open source software, so that you can combine things which weren't planned to combine.
Yeah, I do like the idea of the BSD kernel with the Linux usually and stuff on top. It's definitely an interesting concept, and you know, the BSD people always argue that the BSD kernel is, you know, better than Linux and vice versa. So it'd be kind of cool to check it out to see what Debian runs like with the BSD kernel.
Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to the release and see how. How many people will use it. It was already a big boost for us when it was included in the official archive. Before that, we just it was hosted at debianports.org. That's a project which helps emerging new Debian architectures to emerge, and also is some kind of I don't know what's the word in English. Like a home for elder people.
Oh, okay.
So the M68K architecture will retire there, and probably the Alpha architecture will retire there in near future too. So Alpha is already no more release critical release architecture in Debian, and K3BSD and some other of the current architectures in Debian started there, and probably some new architectures will currently living there will move over to the official Debian archive in the future. And yeah, K3BSD started there, I think, back in 2005.
Do you have a rough idea of how many downloads there's been, people using it?
Unfortunately not, no. Sorry. Since it's part of the official Debian archive, it's mirrored worldwide on countless mirrors. We for sure don't know all of the mirrors, so we can't have any numbers. What we do have is a rough number compared to the Linux ports. On there's a Debian package called Popularity Contest.
Yeah.
Which anonymously collects, and it also of course submits. Can on I think it's pop.debian.org. You can have a look at how many machines submit statistics for each architecture. But I don't have the numbers in my mind at the moment.
Okay, so if they partake in that, it'll basically count a K3BSD installation also.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the point is, it's an those statistics are not enabled by default, so you
Right.
have active, you are asked on installation if you want to enable those statistics, but the default is no.
Right, so you have to opt in.
Yeah, you have to opt in. And so also the relation between the Linux ports and the KFreeBSD ports are probably not as accurate, but I can imagine that many people using this new pets as and that they are keen to make it more popular and enabling the statistics more often than with Linux. But on the other hand, I can't promise that it's the case. It's just my own guess.
Oh, okay. If someone wants to get involved with the project, what website would they go to, or who would they contact?
Basically, there are three points on the net. There's in the Debian wiki. There's the Debian GNU KFreeBSD wiki page, which is, I think, the most important hub for any link related to Debian GNU KFreeBSD. Then there is the Debian BSD mailing list. It's on lists.debian.org /debian-. Where you basically, mostly technical stuff is discussed. If some maintainer of a package needs help for KFreeBSD related bugs, he's asking there usually. And there's also an IRC channel. It's on irc.debian.org, and the channel is #debian-kbsd, because there are also some guys who are playing more with NetBSD than FreeBSD or so around. And yeah, those are the three most important points on the net around Debian GNU KFreeBSD.
Is there any particular area you guys are looking help for?
Well, at the moment, I think the most important thing is testing and reporting bugs, because by far not all packages are used by the hardcore KFreeBSD guys. So finding bugs in the packages you use on KFreeBSD is, I think, currently a quite important part. As with finding bugs in Debian Squeeze before the release is important anyway.
Mm.
And since it's included in the archive, we get quite a lot of bug reports. Well, we get much more than before.
Yeah.
So there are really people out there using it. One person which surprised me a lot with showing me IBM ThinkPad running KFreeBSD was Werner Koch, the GNU PG author.
Okay.
So, he showed up last year on some conference and just showed me his ThinkPad running Debian GNU KFreeBSD, and I was really surprised that he was doing that on his, at least on the laptop he's taking to conferences and really is using it. So not only a toy or a pet,
right?
Like my KFreeBSD box, which is sitting on my desktop, and I'm just accessing it with SSH from my workstation. Seldom using it really with a local screen. So, but there are people out there who use it in production, at least on some desktop or laptop. Not sure about the server. I haven't heard of anyone using it for a server. But on the other hand, regarding the bug reports we get, some people seem to think about it. So, especially with the ZFS feature, about half a year ago, many components for using ZFS were still missing. In the last few months, ZFS on Debian GNU KFreeBSD made a big jump forward. So now you also can installing Debian GNU KFreeBSD on ZFS instead of just UFS coming being the native FreeBSD file system. So there's support in the Debian installer now. their support in Grub bootloader, well, Grub 2 at least. And yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'd imagine there would be some more server installations with the ZFS file system. People that want to use Debian but also want the ZFS file system, again, they'd have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, that's basically, again, the combining stuff which wasn't expected to be combined. And yeah, best of both worlds is also a nice term for it.
Yeah.
Although you do have, of course, some disadvantages because you can't port the packages which have Linux specific stuff in it. But anyway, I think we are currently at 86 point something percent of all Debian packages being available on Debian GNU KFUBSD 2.
Wow, that's really good.
That's quite some amount, and I think about 6 months ago it was just 81 or 82%, so also at that point we made a big jump forward. But I think it won't go further as fast, because most of the problems or of the packages not available yet are really packages which are Linux only. So, yeah.
So unfortunately, there might be some packages that don't make it over.
Yeah, so those packages will be explicitly excluded or from the KFUBSD architecture. So, packages which are not working on a KFUBSD architecture, therefore never were built for the KFUBSD architecture. They build failures on the KFUBSD architectures are not counted as release critical, because it's no kind of regression. So a release critical bug, or well, a bug is only counted as release critical on some architecture if that package was built and working fine on that architecture before.
Okay, so if a package doesn't work with the K3BSD, would they have to basically rewrite the software all over again just to have it compatible?
That depends a lot on the software.
Okay.
So often it suffices to exclude some build dependencies. For example, if it's a software whose main purpose is not audio but includes ALSA support,
yep,
we can just disable ALSA support for the KFUBSD build of that software.
Oh, okay.
So same counts for Bluetooth stuff. If it's not a software whose main purpose is to work with Bluetooth, we can just disable the Bluetooth support. For KFUBSD.
So how is the audio right now in the K3BSD? Is it still a little shaky, or is it all set now?
I must admit, I haven't tried it.
Okay.
But I wouldn't have done this interview on a K3BSD box, because we had a little bit issues even with Linux at the for setting it up. So
yeah.
Yeah. Probably, I would have expected more problems on KFUBSD, just because I never played around with audio at all on KFUBSD. That's, as I said, not everyone is playing around with every aspect of an operating system, so I mostly do, well, on the one hand, stuff with desktop, so see if my favorite desktop works on KFUBSD, see if my favorite packages work, but they mostly include network stuff and also a little bit of server stuff, but not audio at the moment.
Okay. Well, Axel, I appreciate your time. Is there anything else you want to discuss that maybe I overlooked, or something I didn't think of mentioning?
Maybe it's interesting to... one thing which is often asked is which kernels from FreeBSD... which kernel versions do we use?
Oh, yeah.
So, at the moment, we support the 7.3 and 8.1 kernel from FreeBSD.
Mm.
8.1 being the one used for the Debian installer. And for the release, it may happen that we drop the 7.3 kernel at all. Because at the moment, we do have more problems with the older kernel than with the newer one. So some things just don't work with the 7.3 kernel, but work fine with the 8.1 kernel. And yeah, that's one point. Initially, the whole project started with some 5.x kernel. I don't know which one exactly. I remember that my first KFreeBSD installation was with a 5.4 kernel from FreeBSD. And half a year ago, we still had the 7.1 or 2 and the 8.0 kernel. And the 8.0 kernel made a lot of hassles, but with 8.1, the 7.x kernels are the ones which are more, which are worse. So the 8 series kernels from FreeBSD made big advantages, advances on with the outcome of the 8.1 kernel for KFreeBSD.
Yeah, plus I'd imagine there's better hardware support with 8.1 than the 7.x.
Yeah. Well, I suspect that the main reason is this rule never run a .0 version. It's more something like a late beta version.
Okay.
Well, I think I heard that from some FreeBSD guys too, that the .0 versions are not those you should use for a production server.
Actually, speaking of that, I didn't even think of asking you, is the FreeBSD project working with you guys at all? I mean, obviously they must know what you're working on. Do they give you any sort of help?
The guys working on the BSD glibc, they submitted quite a lot of patches to FreeBSD, and I think the majority of them, of those patches, also got accepted for FreeBSD. Not all, but many of them. The FreeBSD community is well aware of the project. So I did my first talk about Debian GNU KFreeBSD. I did at FOSDEM this year, and that was in the BSD dev room.
Hmm.
And I was asked by FreeBSD guys if I couldn't make a talk about Debian GNU KFreeBSD for them. So there was quite positive feedback, and some of the FreeBSD guys are also curious what's the outcome of this, let's say, yeah, experiment of this bastard.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's not not as some might expect, that that FreeBSD is very unhappy that we are raping their kernel to work together with a Linux user land, and it's quite a cooperative atmosphere.
So if they help you out, it's only with their BSD kernel. Do they have any ideas of how to fix some problems with the Linux software talking to the BSD kernel?
I think with that, we're mostly on our own.
Okay.
Because most of the problems are the software not recognizing that it's running on a FreeBSD kernel, but with a glibc.
Yeah.
So that's mostly contacting the authors of the software that they update their the build system they deliver with their software. So updating config.ges and config.sub files. That's probably the biggest issue, or the most often happening issue with software.
Okay. Well, Axel, again, I appreciate your time. Is there anything else that you want to go over, or?
I think, no. I think we mentioned most of the issues, features, and well, at least all the numbers I know by mind.
Can they go to Debian.org to download the K3BSD? Is that where it's located to download it?
Yep. Debian K3BSD is available on all the official Debian mirrors.
Okay.
So you can just pick your favorite local mirror and look for the Debian installer on that architecture. As well as the apt repositories are also on every Debian mirror. Since I think April 2009, since the inclusion in the official Debian archive, and therefore also in the mirror network.
All right, everyone needs to go and download the K3BSD and report some bugs and help out the team squash some bugs, so that way we can get Squeeze out and everyone can check it out.
Yeah, everyone who's doing that, so everyone who's doing that, we really appreciate if people try it out, report some bugs. That's will help the release a lot.
Yes, definitely. Well, Axel, thanks for your time and your work on this project, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your night.
Yeah, I did. Okay.
All right, thanks Axel.
Thanks for the invitation.
Oh, no problem.
And, yeah, I'm curious what will happen after the release, how many people will use it. I really can't predict it. It's something I'm really curious on.
Yeah, that's why we need people to download it now and help report the bugs so we can get it out.
Yep.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it, too. I'd be interested in the server installations and see what happens with that.
Okay. So, yeah.
All right. Again, Axel, thanks for your time and the interview, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Okay. Then, yeah, see you, or better, hear you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to This Week in Debian. If you know someone, or you yourself, are in the Debian community, please get a hold of us. We can interview you. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Again, that email address is feedback@frostbitemedia.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.